dates, a special behind-the-scenes look at zoos.
When you go to zoos, you only see a tiny part of what really goes on.
We get to see where the real action is.
Working with the animals so they don't get bored. And feeding them dinner.
Also helping sick ones get better.
When you build a zoo, you have to try and copy the animals' real home in the wild.
The jungle we're in is actually a new kind of zoo. The animals live in environments that are almost like their natural habitat. We even built a natural habitat for Jay.
Welcome to Popular Mechanics for Kids.
He's saying welcome to Popular Mechanics for Kids. Montreal Biodome.
There are about 6,000 animals here, all living under one roof.
Counting Alicia, 6,001.
There are four different climates. We're in the tropical forest.
The weather in here is the same as it would be in Central America. Hot and steamy.
All the plant life here is real, except these trees. They mechanically give off steam.
If you look carefully, there are animals you've never seen before hiding in the leaves in the water. Like the capybara, which is the biggest rodent in the world.
I thought you were the biggest rodent in the world.
That's pretty funny. There are also 350 bats flying over our heads right now. Zoos everywhere are changing. Cages are disappearing and animals are living in more natural environments.
But animals in captivity still need special care that animals in the wild don't need. They say elephants never forget. Maybe that's why they have the ability to learn as many as 100 commands. Right, Judy? Right, Malika? Training animals in captivity is very important to keep them healthy. Animals need special care at a zoo, unlike in the wild. Lay down. You'd never see this in the wild. Malika here gets a bath every day. She's scrubbed and rinsed to keep her skin healthy.
Well, when you get done with Malika, we've got 9 more elephants for you to scrub, and we do this every day.
Just like washing the car.
It's also important to clean her tusks every day, too. So we do that by using one of these pads. I'll do this one.
Okay.
Just like a kitchen scrubbing pad. Chomp, Malika.
Just like this?
Yep, just like that. Steady.
We clean the tusks so that the elephant's gums don't get infected. Just like brushing our gums keeps them healthy.
It's like cleaning a big tooth.
Training is actually teaching. It benefits the animal as well as the trainer in a variety of different ways. We can do medical behaviors with the elephants to prevent illness, to take care of any problems they might come up with. It builds a real strong relationship or a bond between the trainer and the animal. It gives her exercise, and it gives her a lot of emotional and behavioral enrichment. Now, if you need Judy to pick up her foot, that's all you have to say. It's just that word.
Okay.
Want to try?
Yeah. Judy, foot. In their natural habitats, elephants walk a long time in search for food and water, so their nails get worn naturally. Good. But this isn't the wild, and even though they walk around every day, they still have to get their nails trimmed and filed.
The elephant's feet wear similarly to the same way as the bottom of our shoes. One side wears more than the other, and it's our job to keep them even.
Okay.
So you'll take the file, and just like you would on your toenails, you do the same thing on Judy's toenails, just like that. Okay, it's your turn. Want to give it a shot?
Yeah. Just hold it like this?
Yep.
Okay.
Nice and easy strokes. There you go.
Ooh. Elephants like to grip things. It's natural for them. They're so intelligent, they gotta do a lot of different things so that they don't get bored. Judy! Wow.
powerful.
Yes, she is. Very intelligent animal. Sometimes she's even smarter than the people that work with her. That's right, Alicia. Elephants love the attention they get from people. They enjoy learning all the different behaviors. And all they're all natural behaviors, things the elephants would normally do in the wild.
Judy, you're too strong for me. Come on, help me up. That's it. Come on.
Well, did you learn a lot about elephants today?
Definitely. I look at them different now.
No, this gorilla's not dead, but it was close. Caesar had a tumor in his cheek. They took him for surgery. As you can see, it's hard to move a gorilla that's 3 times your size. The operation lasted 4 hours. The doctor thought everything was okay. Then Caesar suddenly stopped breathing. They were able to revive him. The zoo said Caesar's brush with death was caused by giving him too much anesthetic. They had to put him under just to get him to the hospital, because they didn't have the proper transportation pen, just this beat-up old truck.
What you're watching is a horse giving birth. It's pretty amazing. Now, look a little bit closer, and you'll really be amazed. This horse is giving birth to a zebra. It happened 13 years ago at the Louisville Zoo in Kentucky, and it was no accident. Vets planted a zebra embryo in the horse's uterus, and on May 17th, 1984, EQ the zebra was born. It was the first time a domestic animal, like a horse, gave birth to an exotic one, like a zebra. Scientists hope these embryo transfers will help endangered species survive extinction. Oh, and if you're wondering what happened to the zebra, EQ's alive and healthy. He lives at the Houston Zoo in Texas.
This is feeding time in Antarctica.
Much colder place than the biodome. It's pretty amazing that penguins live right next door to animals from a tropical forest.
I feed each penguin one at a time so that each one gets their own fair share. I can tell if anyone's cheating by looking at the tags on their wings.
Sushi. Raw fish for lunch is one thing, but how about a nice juicy rat burger? Wait till you see what these next animals eat for a meal. Not too long ago, people believed that animals could eat anything. Things have changed. Every zoo has a team of people responsible for feeding the animals. It's their job to study what the animals need and to make sure they get it. Zoo animals have to eat what's right for them. Variety is the name of the game. Appetizing. So, what are we cooking for breakfast?
Well, this morning for breakfast, we're gonna cook up some fruit gel for our fruit bats here at the zoo. We've got a lot of mango and bananas, the main fruit we have in here. And we've got a little bit of jello powder, some vitamins and mineral, and even a little bit of beef heart just to spice it up. We'll just let it sit for a while and harden up and turn to a nice jello kind of consistency. And in the meantime, we'll go get ready to feed some animals.
Although all animals eat at different times, the food is distributed early in the morning. Then it's up to the keeper to decide when it's time to take the food out of this box and feed the animals. Hey, I recognize this. I made this. And it's a gel.
Flying fox gel. We cut this into little slices. We mix it with fruit, and it eats it really well. This is our flying fox bat. He tends to be a little aggressive, so I'll distract him while you put the food down.
Okay. I'll just wait till he turns around.
You want him to turn around and look at you?
Okay. Not to you, not me. There you go. There's your food, fatty boy. What a great feeling when you see something you prepared being eaten with such appetite. You don't get much thanks for your effort, but hey, no one complains either.
Wow!
says that the way to an animal's heart is through his stomach. Well, this zoo knows how to make everyone happy. Cheeseburgers. This is the Komodo dragon, the largest land-dwelling reptile in the world. The Komodo dragon is a deadly hunter. It will eat anything that moves, including humans, but only after it uses its sharp claws to drag out the stomach and intestines of its prey. The dragon can eat something almost as big as itself in only a few minutes. And even if its bite won't kill you, its poisonous saliva will. Lucky for you, the dragon's home is far away in Indonesia. And here at the zoo, the dragon eats only rats for dinner. Just the way it likes its food, dead for days.
Oh, look at her. Wouldn't you just like to cuddle up with her?
No thanks.
What about this one?
Oh, it's so cute.
These are iguanas. They're reptiles.
And they're one of the hottest selling pets around. Charlie here is going to show us how to feed an iguana. And most of all, build a home for it.
Right, Jay, Alicia, it's a matter of survival for these guys. The SPCA and other animal shelters are getting more and more iguanas, sick iguanas, because people just don't know how to take care of them.
So it's more difficult than taking care of, say, a dog or a hamster?
Oh, absolutely. These iguanas need very special housing and a special diet. Now, this is your typical iguana home. It's just a regular cage, but with a few critical features. What do you say we try to build one of these cages on our own?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, first off, we should start with one cage.
It's a good place to start.
Carpet that won't shred. One heated rock.
Right. Iguanas are cold-blooded animals, so they need the warmth to keep their own body temperature up. Now, Alicia, why don't you put these two regular rocks around the heated one so it can catch some of the heat?
A couple of branches.
Right. Iguanas love to climb. And they like to rest on the tree limbs. And finally, we add the UV lamp so the iguana can bask in the warm light as it relaxes on the tree branches.
Don't forget the large flat water bowl.
Right. It's very important to keep this water clean because not only does the iguana bathe in it, it also drinks from it. There you go. Iguanas come from a warm, humid climate, so they like to be sprayed with water. And spray the cage, too, a couple of times. Right.
I'll feed it the salad, okay?
Sure, go ahead.
So, do you like a Thousand Islands dressing or French?
Actually, Jay, they eat it plain. They like their veggies. Stuff like snow peas and asparagus, maybe with some healthy cereal mixed in and some fruit. You also have to sprinkle crushed calcium tablets on the salad. Otherwise, their bones will get weak and they'll lose their ability to climb.
What happens when it gets 5 or 6 feet long like this one?
Well, you either have to have a very large cage or give it a room in your house with the same features as this cage. Now, this size should be fine for about the first 3 years of the iguana's life.
How long does it live?
If you take good care of them, they can live up to 15 years.
Cool.
Yeah, and cool-blooded.
Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome. See you later.
Not so long ago, zoos were little more than jails. Animals, like this gorilla, were kept alone in small concrete cages with nothing to do. The cages were built so people could get a good close look. You'd be pretty angry too if you were this gorilla.
I'm in Kansas at Sunset Zoo, and this is where the chimps here live, but not for long. This isn't a great place for chimps to live. It'd be like getting grounded in your bedroom for the rest of your life, without games, stereo system, TV, or computer. Enough to make you go bananas. The zoo even calls this environment embarrassing, so they're getting rid of it. And they're building a brand new place for them. It'll be bigger, better. And it'll have stuff in it that a chimp would experience in nature, like this termite mound I'm building.
Chimpanzees like to eat nutritious and delicious termites. In the wild, they look for termite mounds. They use sticks or twigs to probe inside, and they pull the insects out.
So, what exactly are these holes?
Those are for some feeding tubes. They're just a plastic pipe, and they screw in from the inside, and the chimps can take twigs or sticks or something and forage down in the holes for different things we put in here.
What kind of stuff do you put in there?
Well, we put honey and mustard and even ketchup.
We're at Sedgwick County Zoo in Wichita, Kansas, and this is what a man-made termite mound looks like when it's finished. The zookeeper puts food for the animals inside. He leaves it up to the chimps to figure out how to make the right tools to get at it. This is where I can help.
Hello, and welcome to Popular Mechanics for chimps. This week, I'll show you how to make your own twig so you can get yummy food.
First, find a twig or stick. Remove all the leaves. Stick the twig into the opening. Pull out the twig and enjoy. Happy and hungry. Very close to what these guys would experience in the wild. Oh, and if you're a chimp and you don't like the food, well, you can always eat the utensils.
What?
Huh? Huh?
Presently, 9 out of 10 zoo animals are born to animals already in zoos. Though not so long ago, this was not the case. Animals kept in zoos either were not allowed the opportunity to reproduce, or would reproduce repeatedly with family members, resulting in inbreeding. Either way, the animals died off. Now, a more successful method is used that benefits both zoos and nature. It's called the Species Survival Plan, a computer dating service for zoo animals. Animals from zoos all over the world are put on a computer list. There are stud books containing information about each animal. They are matched and transported to meet their mate. Only endangered animals are selected for this program. At each zoo, professionals create and monitor proper mating conditions for each species. Because of the Species Survival Plan, zoos are able to keep a healthy population of animals. And animals once in danger of disappearing are being reintroduced into the wild.
Just doing what healthy animals normally do. But what happens when an animal gets sick? Today, we're at Metro Toronto Zoo to find out. This camel needs care, but it's hard to see at first.
That's because animals in the wild are programmed to hide their symptoms so that they can protect themselves from predators.
This time it's easy to spot the problem, a little leg infection that'll be treated with antibiotics. Camels are good at cooperating. And this one deserves his treat for being a good patient. But it's not always that way with animals here. This Mongolian yak is starting to freak out. He's due for his annual checkup. The vet and his team just want to trim his hooves, do a blood test, and give him his shots. But he doesn't know that.
Difficult to put him under?
Well, not really. We gave him just a light dose to start with. We'd see if he would let us do this without putting him right down on the ground. And he was very good, but after a while, he got a little bit fed up with it.
When veterinarians need to tranquilize an animal, they can use a dart gun. They choose this method for fast animals, but they usually prefer to fire the darts more quietly with a blowpipe.
Okay, well, these are the blowpipe darts that we use sometimes, and this is the pipe we use. So that goes in there. Well, let's push it in a little bit, and would you like to have a go?
You betcha.
There you go, and there's your target.
Okay. thanks to tranquilizers and sophisticated machines, veterinarians are now able to perform complicated surgery and bring their patients back to health in no time. To do that, they use state-of-the-art equipment, from electrocardiographs to x-ray machines. With thousands of very different patients, being a veterinarian is a lot of work, but it's also a lot of fun. It gives you a unique chance to meet rare creatures and get more familiar with them.
The best thing about being a vet is seeing your patients get better. Come on, Kaboo, let's go.
We just rushed over to the Laurentian Forest to watch the otters play. River otters love to play in the water.
Are they fighting or just playing?
They're playing.
The seasons actually change in this forest. The leaves turn colors and then fall off.
So let's watch.
When will the leaves change?
In 3 months.
Forget it.
Guess we'll have to come back later. Later.
See you next time.